Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, the 7th of May. Coming up, a union fears staff and patients are being put at risk by a water issue at a Kent hospital.
A lot of the people that are under the greatest pressure in this circumstance are NHS workers who are predominantly low-paid women. They're your caterers, your cleaners, people who are often quite invisible within hospitals, but actually play an important part.
Victims of domestic abuse in Maidstone are being given an easier way of accessing mental health support.
Domestic abuse affects people differently, but often it causes a huge amount of trauma to people, and sometimes it can be quite long-standing. So people then suffer with a number of difficulties and challenges, which prevents them from coming forward to seek support.
And a shopping centre in a part of Kent celebrates a significant milestone.
We have no vacant jobs. We have some amazing tenants that moved in. We have a lot of F&B, a lot of national, regional and local tenants, which I think this is the mix that Sittingbourne really wants.
But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. A teenage motorcyclist who died in a crash near Sittingbourne has been described as the kindest of souls. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, incredibly sad. The collision happened last month.
Yes, that's right. Oliver Tarvitt had been riding his bike along Lower Road in Tongue on Saturday, April 25th, when he crashed with a VW transporter van travelling in the opposite direction. The 17-year-old had been getting things for a barbecue with friends when it happened at around 5pm. His family have described Ollie as their real-life BFG, describing how he loved biking, football and being outdoors with his dad. He was also a huge animal lover and spent time helping with his mum's horses. Ollie had 5 siblings and 3 step-siblings.
What have Ollie's family said about that particular road, Lucy?
Well, they've told us something needs to be done to make it safer. In fact, Oliver's mum Joanne also had an accident on the stretch 12 years ago, which saw the car she was driving veer into a field. She doesn't think it should have a 60 mile per hour limit and has described it as extremely dangerous. The 42-year-old said they'll do everything they can to fight until something's been changed. His dad, Tim Crowther, has also described the road as absolutely diabolical.
And finally, can you just update us on the police investigation?
Yes, officers are still keen to hear from anyone with information about the crash and say no arrests have been made. Anyone who saw the vehicles involved in the moments before the collision is being urged to get in touch. We've shared the force contact details within the story at Kent Online today. Just to add, a full inquest into Ollie's death is due to take place in November.
Lucy, thanks ever so much. Our thoughts are with Ollie's friends and family.
Kent Online News.
A man and woman have been arrested after a bomb disposal team was called to a street in Ashford. Officers searched a property on Bluebell Close in Kings North yesterday as part of a drug investigation led by Surrey Police. Now, several firearms were seized and a powder was found, which had to be removed by the army. A further search was also carried out at an address on Shortlands Road in Sittingbourne. A police officer who worked at a Kent pub while off sick and searched for her ex-partner on the police system has been sacked. PC Jennifer Howard was found to be working a shift at the Red Lion in Bidenden last December and also accessed records relating to her ex, who was part of an ongoing domestic abuse investigation. A disciplinary panel found the allegations amounted to gross misconduct and she was dismissed without notice. A Gillingham man who got knocked out when he started a fight while out drinking in Rochester has ended up in court. Owen Foreman attacked a man who he thought had punched his friend in July last year. The 19-year-old from Sedley Close also racially abused police when he was arrested. He's been given a conditional discharge and ordered to pay more than £100. Now, next on today's podcast are unions warning staff at Darent Valley Hospital are struggling to maintain safe hygiene standards because of a water supply issue. A fault in the heating system means taps in a large part of the building in Dartford have been deemed contaminated since last week. Unison claims patients are being put at risk. The NHS says portable sinks and bottled water is being provided. Well, let's hear first from Jo Galloway. She's the South East Regional Secretary from the union.
So workers at Darren Valley Hospital, whether that's cleaners, housekeepers, catering, nurses, have been going above and beyond for over a week now to keep services running and to keep patients safe, given everything that's going on with the water shortages. However, this is a hospital that was already stretched. These were staff that were already under a lot of pressure. We've been hearing about staffing shortages at the hospital, where sickness absence isn't being covered, where people are having to move between wards in order to plug gaps. So these were staff where there already wasn't a lot of resilience within the hospital, and now they're being pushed even further, trying to deliver continued patient safety and care, but under really, really difficult circumstances. And in addition, a lot of the people that are under the greatest pressure in this circumstance are NHS workers, who are predominantly low-paid women. They're your caterers, your cleaners, people who are often quite invisible within hospitals, but actually play an important part. And a lot of these staff are bank staff, so they're people on insecure contracts already, and they're facing additional pressure because there's some proposed changes to pay and uncertainty over that for them. There's potentially increased staffing, car park charges coming in. So these are staff that aren't really feeling particularly valued at the moment by the hospital, and yet they're the ones that everyone is relying on to continue to deliver service in really, really tough circumstances.
And it's been over a week now since this issue started. I mean, when did Unison first become aware that there was a problem, and what have you kind of heard from staff about what it's like in the hospital trying to look after patients?
Yeah, staff there are doing their absolute best in order to continue to deliver patient care, but they're having to rely on bottled water, portable sinks. These are things that they can absolutely do, and they're doing their best, but it is going to have an impact on an already exhausted staff. And where they're potentially working across different wards in order to plug gaps, that's where concerns come in. And I think it's always important to remember that NHS staff do their work because they care. These are often really, really difficult jobs, but they know that they're contributing to people's well-being and safety. But if the NHS don't look after their staff, then when circumstances like this happen, it just puts more and more pressure, it risks burnout, but also in the longer term, it risks people thinking, you know what, I'm done, I'm going to go and get an easier job elsewhere for much higher pay. And that's the real risk to the NHS, and the real risk to Darren Valley, is that even if they don't learn lessons from this, if they don't put plans in place, not only to prevent the water issue from happening again, but to increase resilience in their staffing capacity, then unfortunately they're going to see staff leaving in the long term.
Dr. Tom Clark is the Interim Chief Exec of Darren Valley. He shared this update yesterday on their social feeds.
As you're probably already aware, last week we had an issue whereby we were concerned about contamination and the quality of the water supply to part of the hospital, in particular the West Block. What I can do is I can assure you that as soon as the problem was identified, the water supply was isolated and no one's come to any harm. The underlying problem has been fixed and rectified very quickly after the incident. And we're now at a stage whereby we're getting all the safety checks to quality assure that the water is safe for washing and for drinking. I understand that's caused a number of concerns, and it's also been inconvenient for our patients and for our staff. What I want to tell you is we put a lot of mitigations in place. So these are actions to make sure that we can continue fully operationally and act as business as usual. What we've done is we've installed independent sinks, at least three per ward, to ensure that staff are able to wash their hands. This also gives the opportunity for us to give patients the opportunity to have a wash with hot, warm, soaky water, as you'd expect in hospital. I know concerns have been raised about the supply of drinking water, and there is plenty. Ultimately, half the hospital is unaffected by this, and we're able to transport water where required to areas in need. And we also have plentiful supplies of bottles of water as well. So overall, I'd like to offer you assurance that we've got all the plans in place to deal with this temporary issue whilst we confirm that the water supply is safe to use. This has taken longer than expected, although we're told at this stage that we'll find out by the end of the week that the water is safe to use for these means, after which we'll be able to return back to usual. We're sorry for any disruption that's been caused and any inconvenience, and we'll keep you posted with updates on our Trust website.
As Dr. Clark mentioned there, we're told results on water tests should be known by the end of the week, potentially Saturday.
Kent Online reports.
More than £12,000 has been raised in memory of a teenager from Whitstable. 17-year-old Herbie Ballard died after being hit by a train last month. He'd previously worked at Revival Cafe in the town and has been described by his family as a truly remarkable young man. Concerns have been raised about the amount of rubbish being left by lorry drivers near an inland border facility in Ashford. The roadside around the Sevington site has been littered with food wrappers, alcohol cans and bottles of urine. A local councillor's calling for action. The Department for Transport says toilets and bins are available at the facility and they're working on further measures to help tackle the issue. Firefighters have managed to put out a blaze at a derelict building in Tunbridge Wells. Crews were called to North Farm Road on the High Brooms industrial estate just after four yesterday afternoon. They spent around 3 hours tackling the flames. The cause of the fire is not known just yet. Now, victims of domestic abuse in Maidstone are being given an easier way of accessing mental health support. A new pilot will see experts working alongside volunteers at a drop-in hub. The whole idea is to reduce barriers and get help directly to those who need it. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Dr. Afifa Kazi, who's the Chief Medical Officer for Kent and Medway Mental Health NHS Trust.
So we know, you know, domestic abuse affects people differently, but often it causes a huge amount of trauma to people, and sometimes it can be quite long-standing. So people then suffer with a number of difficulties and challenges, which prevents them from coming forward to seek support and help. This pilot enables people to reduces the difficulties and access that people face by getting directly in contact with people who have had these experiences, so that there's no barriers in them accessing care. And, you know, by taking the barriers out, the care is available directly to the people at the grassroots levels, without them facing any stigma that some people feel by approaching mental health services. There's stigma still attached, unfortunately. So it removes all of that and gets support early on to people where they are in the community, where they need it in a timely manner.
And how important is it for victims of domestic abuse to get that support early on and to feel like they can access that help?
It really is important, and for people to realise that they don't need to struggle alone. If they're facing difficulties, a lot of support is available. It is better to seek support early rather than landing in a crisis, which often is what happens, because these things don't go away. They generally result in quite, people have had quite traumatic experiences which stay with them, and often with time they get worse. Really important for people to speak up and seek support and get help in a timely manner, so that you prevent heading into a crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I imagine, you know, for people going through that, often women, maybe women with young children even, it can be a really difficult time, but you might feel like you just want to kind of soldier on, but that's not really the best approach, is it?
No, not at all. And as you said, you know, it's often women with families, with young children dependent on them. And it's, you know, soldiering on your own is probably not the best thing to do. It's always good to, you know, share the burden and seek support. And there is a lot of support available.
So how does it help victims taking that support directly to them?
So it is important that people, you know, seek support in a manner, in surroundings where they're comfortable. And that is what the idea behind this is, to take care to them in surroundings that are familiar to them, to take the element of fear out, so that they can openly share their experiences and their difficulties and the challenges that they face, which often are many and often need support from different organizations, or, you know, sometimes our voluntary sector are involved in support. So often, you know, different agencies need to come together, and it's best done where the person is, which is what the idea behind this is.
Kent Online reports.
Controversial plans to install AMPR cameras to catch vehicles going through a pedestrianised zone in Herne Bay have been held up by technical issues. It's claimed drivers are ignoring signs and even lifting barriers to gain access to restricted areas in the town centre. Well, a crackdown was first suggested a year ago, but council bosses say further work is needed because of complex electrical connections. The home of a man living off-grid in North Kent has been bulldozed. Bob Thwaites had lived on the bank of the Swanscombe Peninsula for 35 years, but his caravan, jetties and boats have been destroyed. It follows a dispute with the new owner of the land, who say he had no right to be living there. You can see pictures by heading to the story today at Kent Online. A family-run department store in Paddock Wood is closing after 135 years. 36 jobs have been lost at Barsley's on Commercial Road. The owners say it was a difficult decision prompted by growing economic and social pressures. Meantime, bosses at a Kent shopping centre say they're now at 100% occupancy, just a year after taking over the site. The Forum in Sittingbourne was, fair to say, struggling with 9 empty units before Vanguard Properties UK Limited bought it for £2.4 million. It's now full and average weekly footfall is up 24%. Kamal Farid is the director of Vanguard UK.
The place is now at 100% occupancy. We have no vacant jobs. We have some amazing tenants that moved in. We have a lot of F&B, a lot of national, regional and local tenants, which I think this is the mix that Sittingbourne really wanted. And as you can see from the stats, our shopping centre footfall has increased year-to-date 44% than last year, while the whole southeast of the UK is down by almost 1%. So we are better than the whole of than London and the rest of Kent. We've had a lot of plans and hopes to get it full, but I will tell you that the timelines have exceeded our expectation. So as a team, we all work together very well, and we were able to attract local, national and regional brands, which was amazing. I remember a year and a half ago, if you drop a coin here, you'll hear it to the other side. That's how quiet it was. Seeing it now, people coming in every second. It's just making us so over the moon, so happy that we have achieved our vision by buying a dead asset that was not performing and actually making it what it is today. So for us, it's a milestone. It's very important for us. And hopefully, that's one of many.
Now, going forward, they're planning to invest millions to build 160 flats in and around the Forum as part of a major regeneration project. We can also hear now from Dulcie Marktong, who works in Way to Wear, which is one of the new shops at the centre.
I didn't used to come in here because it was a bit rough. Yeah, it wasn't like the nicest, but I think it's updated quite a lot. Yeah, it's really nice now. Yeah, I think the coffee shop's really nice. The new cafe is really good food. The kids' place is really good as well for like families around here. And it's been getting really busy, which then brings a lot of customers in here as well because we've got loads of kids' clothes. So yeah, I think a lot of the businesses are doing well. I feel like there's a lot of people, like younger people, that come into the shopping centre looking for jobs in here and other places. So I think it's given like the younger generation a good opportunity.
And you can read that report in full from our reporter Jo Crosley by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
Now, as we head into summer, there's a reminder to stay safe around rivers and waterways in Kent. The Fire and Rescue Service covering the county is relaunching its Make the Right Call campaign in a bid to reduce accidental drownings. Crews have been sent to more than 300 water-related emergencies in the last 3 years, including 23 deaths. For emergencies on rivers or lakes, we should call 999 and ask for the fire brigade. For rescues at sea, it's the Coast Guard. Again, Wetherspoon Pub is set to close for 7 weeks as it undergoes a major refurbishment. More than £500,000 is being spent on the Samuel Petto in Folkestone. Work will start at the end of May and it won't reopen until July the 16th, meaning it'll be closed for most of the World Cup games. And it turns out a body shop garage in Kent helped create Kim Kardashian's outfit at the famous Met Gala. MPS Body and Paint in New Romney were asked to paint a fiberglass breastplate she wore to the event in New York on Monday. You can see pictures at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Plenty of football to update you on. We'll start off at Gillingham, where the boss has told us he'll rebuild his squad the right way this summer. 16 players left Priestfield at the end of the season, with 14 being released by the club after a poor campaign. Well, Gareth Ainsworth has revealed his recruitment will be based on sustainability. ability and he won't overspend. Elsewhere, Ebbsfleet United's Kwezi Appiah says he's already looking at pushing for promotion next season. The 35-year-old striker is one of 11 players staying at the Stonebridge Road Club. The National League South side just missed out on the playoffs this time around after losing to Worthing on the final day of the season. And the Punjab United boss has thanked his family for their support after they secured an historic promotion. Chippy Sayan's team will play Isthmian League football for the very first time next season following a 4-3 penalty shootout win over Rusthall. It follows disappointment in just missing out on the FA Vars final and losing the Kent Senior Trophy final to Whitstable Town. Huge congratulations to Punjab United. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the website today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.